Psalm 32. When we turn to the Bible, we discover that happiness is found in our relationship with God. If one is in a right relationship with God, one will have internal joy and happiness regardless of the surrounding circumstances. If one is not in a right relationship with God, no matter what one has or is, life is lonely and it's miserable. And the key to having a right relationship with God is having a relationship in which no sin blocks any fellowship and communion between that individual and God. And the big problem we all have is that all of us have sinned, and therefore none of us automatically has that kind of relationship with God. It's one thing that once we get sin confessed and forgiven, where we can be happy, and one will never have peace in ourselves until we're at peace with God. And that's Psalm 23. That state of being happy or miserable is a state of determined whether or not our sin has been taken care of. And we know it. We've confessed it. It's said that Martin Luther was once asked, "What's your favorite psalm?" And Luther said, "The Pauline Psalms." And that puzzled that friend that had asked him, "Which psalms are those?" And Luther said, "Psalm 32, 51, 130, 143, because they all teach forgiveness of sins that comes apart from the law to the one who believes." Augustine was dying in his bed in Hippo, North Africa, and was said that he was at total peace because he had meditated on Psalm 32. And you're going to notice the inscription when you look at it. It's called a Psalm of David, a Maskil. And that particular classification means that this psalm will bring success by being taught and understood. According to a commentator, that was a word particularly used for psalms that were didactic poems, specifically designed for giving instruction and teaching. Psalm 32 was a psalm written by David to teach and instruct others concerning the happiness and blessedness that one has when one does not try to cover his sin, but goes directly to God and deals with his sin. And you'll notice the word Selah throughout it. That word means to rest or pause and keep silent and think about what you just read or heard. David had, and God wanted us to think very seriously about what is in the psalm. For over 1 year, David had tried to cover his sin with Bathsheba. He had coveted, lied, stolen, committed adultery, and murdered Uriah, who was a brave soldier and officer. Uriah was a Hittite, not even a Jew, who had been totally loyal to David, and David stole his wife and had Uriah killed. During that year, David was depressed and lonely, but when Nathan the prophet confronted him, and when David finally faced his sin and confessed it, he was able to write Psalm 32, which describes the joy and happiness he experienced because his sins were taken care of. And the one who is blessed and happy is one who honestly confessed their sin to God and received the forgiveness. The main idea behind the Hebrew word blessed is the idea of being happy because one is in a straight and right relationship with God and therefore stands to be the recipient of the blessings of God. This happiness comes directly from one's relationship with God and one's status before God. Look at that. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit. It's extremely important to see here that the issue that determines whether or not one is blessed by God is the issue of sin. David specifically and explicitly uses four different Hebrew words to describe that sin. Transgression refers to defection, rebellion. Sin refers to missing the mark that had been established by God. Iniquity refers to depraved and perverse acts, and deceit refers to fraudulent and deceitful acts in which one tries to cover up sin. Now, the issue of determining whether or not a person is blessed and happy is the issue of taking care of all of these. Transgression has been forgiven, sin has been covered, iniquity is not imputed, and deceit is non-existent. The word impute means to make a judicial and legal calculation. And now the truth is, the forgiveness of God must come by imputation, not by works, not by promises, and not by the law, because we are all guilty. The only chance David has was to have God make a mental and judicial decision not to impute David's sin against him. If God does not judicially calculate or declare us righteous, then we are miserable and depressed because we are in our sin. The Apostle Paul knew the importance of the psalm because he referred to it in Romans 4, 4 through 8 in his gospel teaching on the doctrine of imputation. In verses 1 and 2, David is saying that the one who is blessed and happy is the one that's right with God, which means one is cleaned up from all their sin. To have this cleansing, we must honestly go to God, face the sin, confess the sin. And as Proverbs says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Proverbs 28:13. Then we see the one who is miserable and depressed is one who has not honestly confessed his sin before God and not received his forgiveness. Look at verses 3 and 4. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. See, no matter what a person looks like on the outside, there will never be inward peace when a believer has inward sin. The state of the believer who covers sin is one of misery and sadness. And in those verses there, David gives us a good look at what is negatively happening to him on the inside when he tried to cover and hide his sin from God. He's depressed to the point that his physical body actually lost strength. David had been this vibrant outdoor guy, but when he did not face his sin, he lost his vitality, joy, and strength. We do know from the New Testament that when a believer is in sin, there can be physical consequences. There can be weakness and sickness and even death, 1 Corinthians 11:30. In fact, James describes one who so realizes this judgment that he calls for the elders of the church and they pray that God would lift that sickness. And the one who will receive the forgiveness of God is one who honestly faces his sin himself and confesses it before God. And there are three steps that David took that were critical to his restoration. The believer must acknowledge his sin to God. At verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. And so he acknowledged it. He's not going to try to hide his iniquity from God, and he's going to have fellowship with God. God, we cannot cover up or conceal that depravity. David saw what he had done as perverted and depraved, and he acknowledged it to God. People will go so far to cover their sin. They'll call it an accident rather than an abomination. They'll call it a sickness rather than a sin. They'll call it an error rather than an enmity. They'll call it an infirmity rather than iniquity. They'll call it a mistake rather than some morbid act. And they'll call it a personal weakness rather than a personal choice. But God demands open, honest confession if we want his forgiveness. And we must confess. The Hebrew word confess means to point or show the sin and the guilt of it. David went before God and specifically pointed out to God all the ways he had rebelled and defected from God. And here's one of the great unique truths of the Bible, which is totally opposite of a man's thinking. With men, confession of sin makes it possible for condemnation. But with God, confession of sin makes it possible for forgiveness. The Bible is very clear that if one has godly sorrow for sin, if one will confess that sin, if he'll forsake the sin, you can find the mercy and forgiveness of God. And by adding that word Selah at the end, David of verse 5, David wanted all to stop after this verse and to think about that very important truth. And then every believer who has sinned against God must be willing to follow the steps if they want God's blessing. Look at verses 6 and 7. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at the time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. The opening there in verse 6 is extremely important because this is a prayer of confession. It's not a prayer for the wicked. It's a prayer for the godly. And the person that has not trusted Jesus Christ, they can confess all they want, but they can't receive forgiveness because they've rejected Jesus Christ. People without Christ have very little conviction of their own sin or the need of a Savior. It is godly people who can confess sin and find righteous forgiveness. And then David says that this confession needs to take place in a time when you may be found. And the proper time to deal with sin is when God has brought one to the conviction of that sin. When Nathan confronted David, David was brought to conviction and he dealt with his sin before God and found the grace and mercy of God. God promises four things to those who honestly deal with sin at the proper time. He promises he will grant forgiveness of sin and guilt. He promises that he will be a hiding place. He promises that he will preserve from trouble. And he promises that he will deliver the depressed believer so he can sing again. And then the person that deals with sin, there's some final thoughts here. Verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. See, God will give great understanding, insight, and direction to the one who faces his sin. God will not give understanding, insight, and direction to one who does not deal with their sin. And God will cause sorrow to plague one who refuses to deal with sin. God will grant his loving kindness and joy to one who does deal with sin. If you are depressed today because you know you've sinned against God, you can find the forgiveness of God and be greatly used by God if you're going to face it, confess it. And that's the teaching of Psalm 32.